Welcome to the 60-Day Rapid Launch Program, third module, Building and Maintaining a Herd. I'm Jim Armstrong, the coach and founder of Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems and the Inner Circle Club. And today I'm very pleased to have on the call with us my good friend and member of my coaching team, Tracy Tollison. Just a little background on Tracy. Tracy's a direct response marketing expert and founder of the Nationwide Pinnacle Club, which is a coaching and mentoring program to help realtors build their business. Tracy has been involved in direct marketing since 1982. He's worked with marketing giants such as Dan Kennedy, the author of The Ultimate Sales Letter and The Ultimate Marketing Plan, and many other books. He's worked with Lee Miltier, the founder of the Nationwide Millionaire Mindset Coaching Program, Bill Glazer, owner of Glazer Kennedy Insider Circle, and many others. In the 1980s, Tracy hosted a half-hour television program on ABC that aired in Hawaii, and the topic of the show was teaching people success principles for their personal and business lives. Tracy is a genius at creating and implementing little-known, outside-the-box marketing strategies to generate explosive business growth and building herds of buyers. He runs his own very successful mortgage company and consulting company. His involvement with Jim Armstrong Marketing Systems will provide Inner Circle Club members with additional ideas and strategies for making money and learning to do it on their own terms. I'm very proud and honored to have Tracy as a member of my team. Tracy is not only a team member, but is also my coach and mentor, and I retained his services because I believe so strongly in the importance of quality coaching when it comes to achieving your best in business. Tracy, welcome to the call. Why don't you take a minute and tell the listeners a little about yourself and fill in anything that I've missed?
Well, Jim, thanks. I'm glad to be here and excited to do the call. Basically, I'm married with a wonderful wife that I'll be celebrating 25 years with this year, kissing her on the lips, as I like to say, 31 years, two great children, and granddaughter, brand new grandparent this year, and two little bad miniature dachshunds that think they're Great Danes, and live in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona, and pretty much wouldn't trade where I live for anything. So, and as you said, as far as business and coaching and running and living what you are showing floor covering dealers across America, I pretty much live, breathe, sleep, eat, and drink it every day of my life, and I'm looking forward to putting together this module for your group.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you know, the entire system is built on building and maintaining a herd. We've talked about it all along, even before this module. And the sole purpose of going after new clients is so that you can put them into a herd and farm them forever for repeat and referral business. So if you go out and cold market without a system in place to protect, nurture, and farm your herd, you know, you and I've talked about this a lot, you're basically wasting your money. And we believe that the race is on to see who can build a productive herd the quickest for several reasons. And one of which is the average consumer is bombarded with 10,000 advertising messages a day on average. People are growing ever more resistant to conventional types of advertising. You've got the do not call registry, anti-spam laws, so it's getting ongoing more and more expensive to gain clients through cold marketing. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't believe in it, and Tracy, you believes in cold marketing techniques and does those, as do I, but it's so expensive that to not have the herd building in place and maintenance is just, it's crazy. So we believe that controlling a herd is the key to business prosperity in the near future, and I believe it's going to be the key to surviving as well. And Tracy is a master at building and maintaining a herd, so you folks are in the right place today on this call. Tracy, why don't you give all of us your definition of a herd?
I'd be glad to. Very much, Jim. One thing I would like to say, when you use the word cold marketing, we're not talking about cold calling. We're talking about new business marketing here and going out and getting new clients and doing that transaction. But to quickly, what we define as a herd, I was taught this by my mentor and coach, Dan Kennedy, a long time ago. If you will visualize for a second a rancher. A rancher has a herd, and he has to love that herd. He has to protect that herd. He has to build the fence around the herd so they don't go wandering off. He also has to set up protection mechanisms from keeping the animals, those that would poach his herd and steal his herd or even destroy his herd. So he is all the time maintaining, protecting, fencing in, and putting new herd members into his herd, if you will. So today, as we go through this call and this module, I would ask you to visualize that. One of the best lessons I ever got of a herd, it is defining my age a little bit, but in the 60s when we grew up, we had cartoons that were allowed to be on TV, and one of my favorite was Ralph and Sam. Ralph was the big old sheepdog, and Sam was the wolf. And they'd go to the tree, clock in, punch in, and then beforehand they were friends, but as the day started all day long, what the coyote Sam's job was to do was steal Ralph's herd. And he created all sorts of ways to get in there and poach them, take them. And all day long, Ralph had to go over there and bang his head and keep them away. So be thinking of that today as looking at every single client you have presently done business with, in the past done business with, and in the future doing business with as your herd. So I think that explains the herd concept, Jim.
So I think, yeah, and that's excellent, and it's powerful, and we've got, so many people that have proven that they've done business with us, so it only makes sense to take those people that have proven that and protect them and keep the poachers away. So great points. Now, with all the great opportunities and freedoms we're blessed with in our nation, making a lot of money today in America is not a huge trick. So it's not so much how much money you make, it's how you make the money. How does that relate to building a herd, Tracy?
Well, I thought about this, last week as we were going over it. By the way, all of your folks have the Rapid Launch program, and I do too, and I appreciate you sending it to me. So as I was reading through the module and looking at what you've put together there, the making money in America, it's obvious. I mean, it should be glaringly obvious to all the listeners that making money in America is not that big of a trick. It's not anything you should be in awe of. Quick example, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton. A couple of idiots that have multi-million dollars. Now, of course, their market and their herd, they have a herd that provide them that lifestyle. And as long as they keep that herd happy, they continue to get recognition and notice. Now, you and I, dealing out there in the real world every day, you should be figuring out the ways and building your business, your floor covering business, on first defining what is enough money and how do you choose to make it. There's a lot of ways you can make money, but you've chosen the floor covering business. You can make a ton of money in it. A lot of you are making a ton of money in it, and some of you are probably struggling. So relating it to how you build a herd, there is no finer opportunity for you as a business owner to maintain the lifestyle and make the money you want to make by assembling, protecting, cultivating, and developing your herd.
Wow, that is powerful. I refer to America as a capitalistic Disneyland. Pick your ride. And that also means pick how you're going to drive your ride. So you as business owners, we get to pick how we run our business. We get
absolutely.
To pick, yeah, not our clients, not our employees, not our, we do. So there's tremendous power and freedom in that, so I appreciate your comments. Let's talk about a minute for a minute about building equity in your business. And I learned the analogy of the oil well from you and Dan Kennedy. Why don't you explain how that applies to floor dealers?
Great. I should have said at the beginning of this call, I'll say it now, this couldn't have come at a more opportune time for your listeners and your clients, because I personally have experienced a large, in my mind, large flooring purchase just 2 months ago. And as we go through this, make sure you pull out of me all the things that he did right and all the things he's done wrong. But we spent nearly $15,000 in floor covering products and services and installations. Okay, so okay. I'm a $15,000 buyer of floor covering services just a month and a half ago. But strictly to your point,
they all want to know your phone number now so that they can.
That's okay. Strictly to the point, here's how this relates. There's equity in the business. The equity in your business can be your inventory. The equity in your, if it's paid for, the equity in your business can be your business, your building, it's your employees, it's you. But to me, one of the most valuable, if not the most valuable, is your herd. This floor covering dealer was fortunate. He did not have to spend any money to get me. He did not have to spend any new money. But let's take, for example, of all your marketing and all your advertising and what we call marketing, direct response marketing, and making the initial sale, that is a transactional event. Unfortunately, too many people look at that transaction as the great event instead of the beginning of a long-lasting valuable. Very few people in business understand the total lifetime value of a customer or a client. So the oil well concept is very simple. When you, as a floor covering dealer, spend your money in the marketplace to bring a client through your door, that is an immediate expense. That is a one-time transaction. In briefest form, if you can now see yourself moving that client into your herd, and now you love him, you develop him, you keep your face and your message in front of him over and over and over again, and you compel him to refer, you actually have more equity in that transaction in the future than turning around and trying to spend money to get another what we call oil can. Another version of oil well for a floor covering dealer business would be who I work with, realtors. Realtors can be an oil well for your business. Realtors are constantly working with new home buyers or home sellers who need remodeling or want to remodel what they just purchased. If you develop the right marketing and listen to Jim and apply what he teaches, then you would be able to look at that realtor as an oil well for your business. They're constantly working with buyers and sellers. There's a constant need for remodeling, redeveloping, and redoing a home. So this year, if you have a herd of realtors, if you will, and I know we're talking about past customers, but I want to expand your thinking. If you have a herd of realtors over here who know you, respect you, trust you, and are constantly telling people about you and your dealership, your company, you've just created an oil well that will produce for you over and over and over again, year after year after year again. So now I've just given you a definition of two versions of oil wells for your business. And just like any other, if it was a real oil well, you'd have to maintain it. You would have to make sure it's working. and you'd have to go out and talk to it, you know, not in a literal sense, but you'd have to keep it producing. And so that, to me, one-time transaction is an oil can. Repetitive transactions with the ability to refer and come back to you is an oil well. And listen, Jim, real quick, in my real estate coaching and mortgage coaching business, it's a shame. I think everybody on this call can understand and relate to this. The number one question I ask my clients in the beginning is, do you have a database of past customers? And in the refinance boom years of 2001, 2002, when it was
fruit was hanging low on the tree.
Fruit was hanging real low on the tree for the mortgage industry. I have talked with successful people. I'm talking people making $250, $350, $1 million a year that would tell me, no, I don't have a database.
Unbelievable.
And it just, you know, you can hear a loud crashing sound, or as Ross Perot used to say, a giant sucking sound, and that sucking sound was the bank account running out because they did not do anything after the transaction.
That is powerful. And you know, the idea of the oil well, you know, just to expand on it a little bit, dovetail with your concept, is you drill it once, it produces oil forever. You know, whereas transactional, you drill that one transaction or do the work. And if you're transaction oriented, you got to go back out and do it again and again.
That's correct.
So yeah, great, great points. Give us your thoughts on, oh, by the way, let me back up. Tracy, you know, you're not, you know, just from what he said, you know, you're just getting a glimpse of his, you know, involvement with realtors. Tracy is an absolute genius when it comes to working with realtors. And at some point after the rapid launch, we're going to have Tracy, and we're going to address that topic exclusively, spending a whole hour just talking about that, because he teaches mortgage professionals, coaches them on how to work with realtors and build a herd of realtors. So that'll be coming after the rapid launch, and that'll be really good. Give us your thoughts, Tracy, on unpredictable income from unknown sources versus predictable income from known sources.
Well, I think in the analogy you just used of drilling and then having to re-drill, for example, if today I see a money mailer or ValPak or any kind of thing coming through, and by the way, I should add in here, I am a student, as is Jim Armstrong, of marketing everywhere. Gemini's antenna are always up, and it's always looking like a dish satellite network tuned in on how to make more money doing marketing. So yep. I know you're in the floor covering business, and I know Jim's talked to you about being in marketing, but here's the unpredictable income from unknown sources. Okay. Today, if I am at Burger King and I decide I'm going to buy my Burger King, I drive through, and as I pull out, I see ABC tile, and I think, oh, you know, I've been thinking about redoing the floor, so let me go in here and just meet. To me, other than your sign being there, that's pretty unpredictable, and it's a definite unknown source that I'm going to be driving by your location. That's on its basic form. Versus a predictable income of, and here's my story, after $15,000 with this gentleman, he's not sent me a postcard, a thank you card, has not sent me any kind of all about you form. He has not done a single thing, not even a satisfaction survey, to ask me my thoughts about doing business with him. So he, in a marketing lesson, has failed miserably at extracting the most predictable income from a known source that he could have. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. You've just proven that out of all the other people on the planet, you will buy from him, and not only buy, you'll spend $15,000 with him, yet he did not see the value and the necessity to harness that predictable source.
First of all, he knew what kind of house I was putting this in. He knew this was going in a $500,000-plus house. So am I hanging around with people that are living in $80,000 or $90,000 houses? No.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows I drive a Yukon. He knows I'm fairly successful. Do you even think he thought beyond, wow, I'd like to get a hold of everybody that's like him that he knows?
Exactly.
No.
Let me ask you a couple questions, Tracy. When you first started working with him, did he sit down with you and do a detailed questionnaire, like a design audit kind of thing?
Nothing that you are showing your clients.
You mean he didn't give you at the end a referral request form and ask for your referrals and have a referral reward program set up?
No.
That's
even
kind of a loaded
the time
question.
When I would go in and look and see, he never once asked me, well, you know, I know you talk about it all the time, top of the mind awareness and consciousness.
Yep. Also, during the transaction, you didn't get a series of mailers and follow-up calls and things planting the referral seeds?
No, it was done normal. It was not done the renegade style that we teach people. It was not done the renegade style that you teach folks, and it did not have one instance. And don't get me wrong, I'm not beating up on the guy, but as a marketer, they did a nice job. They were very friendly. They were very adequate. But they had no system in place whatsoever to make me become or grow me into, these are key words, grow me into a predictable source of income from a known source. And that was your question.
Yep.
He stumbled on me. It was a half stumble. To be fair, the people that referred me to him thought enough of him to say, go by and meet him, talk to his people.
Sure.
Okay, so I wasn't completely an unknown source because they did get a referral. But the analogy stays the same. If I would have been in the Burger King, saw his little dealership, and went over there, I would have been treated the same way.
Sure. Yep. Makes total sense. And I think that what's powerful is that what's bad news for most of the dealers is that they would do exactly what this dealer did. The good news for everyone on this call and all the members of my club is they can be the only one in their area who does anything like that, and it's going to put them light years ahead.
Well, it is true, Jim, and I guess the thought that I have about it most is getting to know a little bit about this gentleman. The sad thing is, which I believe leads us to the next point we're going to make, the sad thing is he is more consumed right now with where to go out and get another oil can instead of how to turn me into an oil well.
Yep.
And I have to, it's a shift in thinking, but all the goodwill that his business has built up enough to get that initial referral stops in the second generation, if you will. And I can guarantee you he did not send the person that referred me a thank you card.
Yeah.
Something that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So.
And you know, the nice thing is, Tracy, you know, in the real estate business, we talked a little bit about this yesterday when we were talking about referral rewards. You can't give referral rewards in real estate. It's illegal.
Oh, no, our business, mortgage business, my business, the mortgage business, and the real estate business, no. Our hands are definitely tied where a floor covering dealer is not.
Yes, and so this is coming from somebody who can't give out any kind of reward of any kind for rely on basically the strength of the relationship and sending out thank you cards. The floor dealers, they can have a lot of fun with it, do movie passes and Starbucks cards and other things like that. So there's a real opportunity there to turbocharge that. So, well, yeah, like you said, this ties in with the next point. There's four kinds of income: transactional, repetitive, renewable, and continuity. And the best kind is continuity because it's predictable. So, you know, tie that in with building and maintaining a herd.
Well, real quick, the definition of transactional, we've talked about it. This gentleman has taught me, he has treated me and earned a transactional income from me. Now, repetitive, if I am not a part of his herd and he is not building a herd, there will not be any repetitive income from me because I'll forget about him, and the next time I need it, whatever comes along is probably what I'll choose. Then there's renewable, and that's where he can try and, like, you know, if I'm on a month of the club or whatever, or not, I'm sorry, that's continuity. Renewable would be as if tomorrow I bought another house and needed something else, I'm going to go, that's like a renewed deal, not for the same product or source. And then the continuity is where it's automatically continuing. For those that are listening, if you're a part of a Book of the Month club, that's the way it used to get started. If you buy, my daughter buys CDs, every month they say, here's your CD choice, buy it or don't. For us and your coaching business, my coaching business. So your floor covering business continuity comes from your herd. It is the place. And there's other sources besides your past and present clients that can be like continuity income. And the word continuity means, you know, because you're working a system and this system does A, you're going to get B results. So in the future, starting, say, in next month, if you know next month you have 100 people out there talking about ABC floor covering business in ABC town of America, that is predictable income that's going to be coming in December.
Yeah.
So that's continuity in the floor covering business.
Exactly.
Another floor covering business, I'm sure we could expand on it on another call, but somebody like my wife would be good for an actually charger every month for a new look-see or sample or something.
Mm-hmm. So the herd becomes your continuity, and you know, you talked about realtors as a source of referral, kind of a herd. You know, you've got your general and remodeling contractors. That would be another one as well. So they're
small time builders.
Yep.
That are building 10, 20 houses a year.
Sure.
That could be a herd.
Yep. So I like the analogy that your floor, you know, business owners, floor dealers are really ranchers. Their best job description is a rancher. Why don't you expand on that a little bit?
Well, loving a business, we all got into our own given businesses by default, or we knew somebody, or we were told about it, or we believed that it was going to make us, 90% of us, 95% of us get into it because we could believe we'd make a ton of money. And so what happens is, because we look around and usually parasite what everybody else is doing in the given business and we copy that, Earl Nightingale, a famous success coach and trainer, said that, you know, if you really want to, I don't know the exact quote, but if you really want to go far in life, just look around at what the crowd's doing and do the opposite. You could do a lot better in your life if you just quit doing what everybody else around you in your field is doing and how they're doing it. So I can guarantee you, It doesn't matter what city you're in. If I picked up the phone book and went through every floor covering dealer in the city of Phoenix, and I started dialing them up and ask them how many of them they had any kind of building and maintaining a herd system in place, 98 out of 100 are going to tell me they don't. So that tells me I don't want to be like them. So a rancher, from now on, as we get off this call today and you go through your model, you just think about being a rancher. And everywhere you're going, your antenna's up. And how can I move? How can I build? How can I inspire? How can I love my herd? It is the most valuable asset you have. Yep. Think for a moment if you have 1,000 sales. 1,000 sales to 1,000 different people, what do you think you're going to have better odds at getting money out of next month? The unwashed mass public who knows nothing about you, or the 1,000 people that's already done a transaction with you?
Yeah, the people that have done the transaction with you.
Well, sure. So that's how they need to be. Everybody needs to be thinking about being a rancher.
Makes total sense, and I like the idea of changing your job description from I'm a flooring installer or I'm a store owner to I'm a rancher.
Oh, I sure, it'll get you a lot more questions. Really? What kind of ranching you do?
Exactly.
People?
That's right. That's right. I've been coaching business owners for years to stop being transaction oriented. Always consider the lifetime value of a client. And in the flooring industry, lifetime value for one client can be huge. Once you figure in repeat and referral business, it can be 5, 10, even 20 times the original transaction. Why do you think, Tracy, so many businesses and floor store owners ignore this?
A lack of somebody like you getting in their face telling them they better quit. Seriously.
Yeah. Okay.
There is no place in school, nor in the floor covering industry, nor in the, like I said, let's go back to when everybody that's in the floor covering business started in the floor covering business. They started in it with the idea to make a lot of money, have a business that they didn't have to say boo or hoo to a boss, that they were the boss. And so my good friend Dan Kennedy once said, well, there's good news and bad news in that. The good news is you're now your own boss. The bad news is you're now your own boss. So, you know, you have to look and see. It goes back to my point earlier. Where did we learn what we learned? And now let's take my personal story, because it's the God's honest truth. And it should be very revealing to anybody in your coaching group that sees this and gets it, as we say. 2 years ago, my wife and I bought another house, and we redid the carpet, and she fell in love with Berber carpet at Home Depot. Well, I hate Home Depot. It was the worst transaction I've ever spent my money on. That one was small because there's a lot of tile in this house, but that carpeting was like $3,700. And it's a piece of crap carpet. It turned out to be defective. I've had nothing but trouble with it. And just because I can't stand looking at it and walking in the house anymore, I'm about to rip it out. So the floor dealer that sold me the $15,000 job for my remodel of my other house doesn't know this in his mind. He doesn't know that about me. So he's making a critical mistake. Well, actually, I take that back. He does know I don't live in the house that he remodeled, that he did the installation
in.
So he's missing again because he's thinking about the next transaction instead of, like I said earlier, man, how many people does Tracy know that think just like him, that are in the income level that he is, that are so easy to work with and pay me? And I get aggravated, Jim, every time I go home and look at this carpet sitting in the house. The only reason that my wife picked that carpet was because she was out looking through the store one day and saw it and said, oh, I like this. But when we go, see, I guess what I believe in is that, to me, the women make the decision in all this stuff as far as floor covering goes. Now, I should, to be fair, women are going to make the majority of the decision of what goes in the house.
Yeah.
So, first off, market, message, and media that you're going to use to attract them. And then once they're in your business for repeat and referral, your message to your market, which is your herd, is talking all the time about repeat or referral business.
Exactly.
And literally, Jim, what's going to happen is when this other house sells, there's going to be some cash freed up, and guess what's going to go into the other house?
New carpet or flooring of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And now we're going on the third month that's passed, and I haven't got... And my birthday's coming up in December. Think I'm going to get a birthday card?
Yeah, I think you will. Let's hold
our
breath on that.
I don't think so. It'll come from you, but it ain't coming from him.
I know. I hear you.
Okay, so anyways, most business owners don't think about it, and it doesn't matter if you're in the floor covering business or if you're in the mortgage business or if you're in the real estate business.
Yeah, and you know another thing, too, is that everybody watches what everyone else does, you know, even including the big boys, you know, the big major mega corporations, McDonald's and Walmart, and they watch how they advertise. And the ad reps that come in, the yellow page newspaper, the guy selling you the embossed logo on your coffee cup, they don't understand, or they don't, they're not teaching the repeat and referral, you know. So it's not something that's on the surface anywhere that anybody sees. So the awareness, I think, is way down.
Well, it's just, again, most people in business were taught that the only way a business grows or the only way a business can make it is go out and get more sales than the other guy gets.
Yeah.
That is not the truth. You know, so Bob Berg told me the other day that really great individuals that are competent, that do a great job, that do everything right, can fail without a system, whereas an idiot, totally incompetent, mediocre at best installation, can run circles around you, the good one, because he is using a system.
Yeah. Exactly.
And so it goes just back to, like, you know, if your coaching clients want to have some good fun for the next 7 to 14 days, go out and ask everybody how many clients they have and how many of them's in their database and what they do with them.
Yep, and the answer will be overwhelmingly nothing.
That's correct.
Yep, including all your competitors. So you do this, you know, one of the questions that we had yesterday was had to do with, you know, the setting up some of the marketing and some of the you know, there's some upfront work, especially if you're doing things like mail merge and stuff, and I don't want to get off the track, but if you think in terms of, I joined this marketing system because I wanted a unique competitive advantage in my marketplace. Well, then you have to do something that's unique. And what we're talking about here is totally unique because nobody does it.
No. You and I know for a fact.
No. Nope.
And what everybody, again, that's listening to the sound of our voice should be doing is doing their own personal survey on the streets the next 7 to 14 days.
Yeah. You have a lot of people come into your store who are business owners, small business owners, or what have you. You visit, you interact with other business owners. Just ask them casually, hey, do you have a client database? How about how many do you have in there? And they won't know, the first thing. And they say, well, do you do anything to market to them? So, yeah, I agree.
Well, we're going to kill the listeners here in about 15 more minutes when we tell them what we do. So we'll just keep going.
All right. Well, now I teach the only purpose of cold marketing is that to add a client to your herd and farm them forever for repeat and referral business. And if you do cold marketing without a system in place, you're just throwing your money away. So give us your thoughts on slugging it out in the marketplace, as we say, where they eat their young every day versus farming your herd.
Well, it's a good point. To me, I'll just simply ask the question, who would you rather spend your time with? Somebody that has already done business with you, is predisposed to do business with you again because of a good experience, or somebody that you've got to convince why you should be the one they choose. Okay? Now, I want to be very careful here, because guess what? Like I said at the very beginning of this call, every day the floor dealer around the corner from your store is trying to figure out how to poach and steal your client away from you. And if you're not farming your own herd, your competitor will.
Yep.
Through his first transactional, as Jim says, cold marketing. Every day. Since I've done the flooring job, and that, that first statistic you threw out, 10,000 messages, it's hard for people to understand or even believe that statistic.
That is a statistic, by the way. That is not just a random number.
Oh,
I know it's not
made up. That's the truth.
Yeah.
And that's probably low.
Probably.
From everything from what you see on your computer screen to your TV screen to your car to your visual sight, your mind is being whacked with that whether you realize it or not.
This Pepsi can on my desk here.
Everything.
Yeah.
Right. So the point of what you're talking about versus farming, where they eat their young in the marketplace every day, they're trying to get your herd. Does the floor covering dealer who just sold me my $15,000 job really think that no other floor covering dealer is not mailing me some solicitation every day? I challenge your clients to go in there and pull their mailbox every day, start looking at Valpak, ads, everything that comes in your mailbox every day, and start throwing all the floor covering stuff into a box. And before the month's over, that box will be heavy. It'll weigh at least 5 to 10 pounds of mail.
Yep, and include the newspaper, too. There's a lot of...
Well, right. Yeah, whatever the customer's looking at. Leave out the newspaper. Just go with what comes in.
Yep.
And so what that tells me is, let's go back through the role play again. Tracy spends $15,000 with floor covering dealer A that he likes, that did a good job, that was pleasant to deal with. But now, 2.5 months later, Tracy's already got a 10-pound box of mail in his trash that he's thrown away with another competitor's message every day.
Yep.
Tracy has not received anything from the current floor covering dealer he just spent $15,000 with, down to the little bit of thank you very much. Hey, we all want to be loved, appreciated, accepted. Every single one of us want to be loved, appreciated, recognized, and accepted. Those are the four human emotions that you cannot get around. I don't feel very appreciative that I didn't even get a thank you card. So, who knows? Now, because I'm not your typical consumer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
My marketing antenna's up every day. If I'm out there... I guess that's what I'm trying to say, Jim, is that my floor covering dealer that I bought from has spent, I would guarantee you, he has spent at least, since this transaction was completed, I'm going to say a minimum of $1,000. Let's just say he spent $1,000 trying to bring in a new client.
Oh, I bet it's way higher than that.
Well, let's just say one new client. He concentrated his efforts as a laser beam.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Okay,
I got it. He paid $1,000 to get a client.
Right, to get one client. Okay?
Yep.
Let's knock it all the way down to $500. He has not put a 41-cent stamped envelope in the mail saying, "Trey, sure, appreciate your business."
Yep.
He hasn't applied any of the marketing stuff you're teaching.
No. And you make a really good point. We've talked about the cost of doing like a typical weekend, Memorial Day promotion. And you'll find floor dealers will promote a big sale like that and then count how many walk-ins they get and divide that into what they spent for the promotion. And just to get somebody to walk through the door can average anywhere from 100 to 500 to one particular campaign Bruce was telling me about, $600 for each person to walk in the door. Not to buy something.
Just to walk in.
Yep. So.
And then the sad thing is they're not having them fill out a get our free XYZ every month for filling out this form.
That's right.
This is exciting because the people that are listening to this, just go out and apply what we've talked about in the last 35 minutes. Next year, they're going to add at least $100,000 to their income.
Oh, absolutely. They could virtually not do any other strategy but this, and they're going to make far more money than they've ever made from their past clients before, and they're going to be light years ahead of their competitors. Just this one concept.
Yep, well, this one module, that's right. Master this module, number three.
Yep, that's it. Now, let's talk about the tools that they get as part of their kit. And the Home Advisor Client Newsletter is something that they get every month. It's a template. I actually worked with you, Tracy, in the development of this. I've been using direct response newsletters for over 10 years as a herd maintenance tool, and you have as well. So let's just break down some of the things that they're going to, get as part of that. First of all, it's 95% done. So all you've got to do is plug in your contact info. It's very easy to personalize with your own photo, contact info, testimonials. It has the look and feel of a very personalized letter. It's non-slick. It's not the four-color, glossy, corporate, impersonal type stuff. It's very personal. It uses infotainment, which is an 80% ratio of fun, informative articles with about a 20% ratio of information about flooring, specials and information. And we do it that way because in any given month, most of your clients don't need flooring right then, so we don't bore them with 100% flooring content. We give them other reasons to read. It has multiple response mechanisms, contests, special offers, referral requests. It's got emotional triggers like client recognition, direct response marketing strategies, and it's a welcome tool that builds a strong, valuable bond with your herd so they think of you automatically when considering, flooring versus other flooring stores. Farms your herd for referrals, and it allows you to work with the very best clients, the referral and word of mouth and repeat business. It helps get you off the production yo-yo. And it literally, once you get good at it, it takes less than half an hour to set it up and then email it to the printer. And then, of course, we include quarterly postcards that are direct response. Again, 95% done. Just plug them in, plug in your contact info, and they'll tie a lot of times in with the newsletter. And it's just an inexpensive, but it's a good way to provide an additional touch for your herd. And then, of course, quarterly direct response inserts that are the same way. Like I said, Tracy, I've been using direct response newsletters for years. I've made hundreds of thousands of dollars a year using them. What kind of results have you had in your own business using this kind of a newsletter, and what kind of results have your coaching clients had?
Well, this the hominess of what we have done with our newsletter pattern versus all other options they have to choose from out there is light years ahead, because people like to know that we are entertaining them, but we are able to be trusted and experts in what we're doing. So real quickly, my herd of clients that get my newsletter every month, I never have, I don't think in, I can't remember how many years, if ever, that I haven't had a month where I get, if nothing else, people calling me up and say, man, I love the issue. Now, that's rare, and why would that matter? Because that means they're paying attention to me versus all the other crap from mortgage companies they're getting in their face every week.
And okay. Keep in mind, this is you talk about a 10-pound or a 5-pound box for flooring. You do the same thing for mortgages. Save up the direct mail pieces, and you'll get about a 50-pound box.
Oh, yeah, they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they know. Any of the listeners know, you know, junk mortgage mail. Hey, you could have bonfires for years for it.
So with your newsletter, you're cutting through essentially a much, much larger pile of crap that you've got to cut through, and it's working. Floor dealers, there's still a lot of stuff out there that's coming in, but they've got a much smaller amount coming in.
Well, bottom line, Jim, I've seen what you've created for your clients. It's excellent. The people will ask us all the time, oh, well, why can't I just bend it over and do this and do that? I think you even asked me once. The difference is that every month this person gets this newsletter from me. They got to open it up. It's like a present.
Oh, you're talking about doing that instead of as a self-mailer with a ball.
Oh, yeah. Man, well, you know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the newsletter, you know, it must be opened. And then when it is opened, it gets read.
Yep.
And one of the best examples is, in September, I am a diehard football fan. Can't wait. I go through Jones's during the summer when football, college, and then pro's not on. Well, every year at the beginning of September, it's, thank you, good Lord, football season's here. So I start yapping about football season and that little bitty customization that I have to do. And you're right, it takes less than 30 minutes to do it. So I put in there about football season. Well, this year, one of my great clients, now this is how the power of this works. A past client of mine who I helped him and his wife buy their home when they moved here from Tennessee. Then I helped him and his daughter and her husband buy a house. Since then, I've refinanced both their houses. And this year, he calls me up after reading my newsletter and says, hey, Tracy, you know, for years, I'm a Tennessee alumni fan. And for any of y'all that haven't figured out my accent yet, it's a northern accent. That's North Alabama. So he calls me up and says, I'm not going to the Alabama-Tennessee game in Alabama. Would you like my tickets? Well, yeah, 94,000 people sell out every year for 10 years. I'm going this weekend to the Alabama football game with my brother because a client sent me tickets. I went on eBay to look how much they sell for. $400 a piece.
Oh, man.
That's the power of the right kind of newsletter to your herd.
The relationship.
The relationship.
Exactly. Hey, Tracy, we're up against the clock. Are you able to hang on for 10 more minutes or so, or do you have to go?
No, I'm good for, 10 minutes. Yeah, we've just got your timing to deal with, so I'm fine.
Yeah, and because what I want to do is give the I got another quick comment to make, and then I'd like to open it up to question and answers. Folks, Tracy's just got so much good stuff. We could go on for another 2 hours and add even more ideas and strategies, but I think you get the idea, and I really wanted to give him plenty of time to be able to get his thoughts because he is such a genius at this whole concept. Real quickly, I want to tell you the touch campaign that I'm currently using, and it's
I use it too.
Okay.
And so do my coaching clients.
And so,
and if they're not sitting down, Jim, they better be sitting down.
Okay. My and I know Tracy does something very similar to this as well. So they get a monthly client newsletter. They get a monthly voice broadcast, and you're going to learn about voice broadcast in an upcoming module, and it's very powerful. So postcards, about four a year, one Christmas gift a year, a birthday card or some other kind of gift or card, and then about four miscellaneous offers in addition to all that. And you add all those up, that's 34 touches a year. And Tracy, you've heard this before. Oh, man, people don't like to get that much stuff. Is it too much? And I can tell you from personal experience, over a decade of using 15 to 30-plus yearly touches, I've had about half a dozen, certainly less than 10 actual complaints. And the herd-building materials that I provide are on an ongoing basis for my members are not your typical boring corporate bulk rate junk. It's fun, it's value added, and very personal, so complaints just don't happen. And how's your experience been regarding complaints and so forth, Tracy? You've hit them that many times a year.
Well, usually I just say, well, that's an idiot, delete them. You know, what do I care?
How many do you get? How often does it happen?
I think I've had one this year.
Okay. So I don't know
if anybody. We're talking 800 and something people. I've had one complaint this year. I don't think any last year. Actually, my people respect me and love me so much, when they move out of state and I don't know it, they usually call me and said, I've moved to Texas. You don't have to send me your newsletter anymore. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You might come back to Arizona, and I want you to know.
Very good. And I've had people move within our area and call and specifically request, hey, I've stopped getting your newsletter, I move, please, here's my new address.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how many flyers from Home Depot or the guy down the street or the brochure you got sitting on your counter, how many people, if that's all that they're getting, are going to call those people up and request to have their junk mail forwarded to the new address? It's absolutely not perceived that way. So, okay, let's real quick. We've got another 7-8 minutes or so, and I'll hang on the line.
Hey, Jim. Yep. Jim, for just a second before you go, I'd like to make another quick thing. You asked me earlier what kind of results have my coaching clients. Look, guys, we're all looking for the same thing. We're looking for prospects that we turn into clients. Then we're looking for clients that we turn into lifelong clients. That should be your goal. One of my coaching clients in Hawaii was successful at the time we met. He had been through the refi period. I asked him in the beginning, are you using the newsletter? No. I get him on the newsletter. He had good news, bad news. Good news was he picked up three transactions, and those transactions were worth over $10,000 in a month, 1 month period, net money in his pocket. Bad news was he realized that some 80-something people in his herd had moved, bought another house, left him, went with somebody else. It was like a gigantic gut punch. So you're going to find that as listeners when you implement Jim's system, and instead of taking it as a ouch, you need to take it as that ouch and say, that ain't never going to happen to me again.
Yes, we talked about this before. You are going, if you've been neglecting your herd for years, statistically 15% of your database moves every year. So you're going to get a ton of letters back. All the ones that you can, change the address on them and start forwarding it to them. And then the others, just use it as a learning experience.
Count it up, an average transaction, $3,000. Oops.
Yep.
And then you won't ever make that mistake again.
Yep.
And by the way, my coach and mentor, Dan Kennedy, will tell you that you need to be contacting them 52 times a year.
Weekly. Yep. So
Jim will help you on that. So if you think 34 is a lot. But, what's neat is Everybody loves getting my birthday card. Everybody loves getting a Thanksgiving card. Jim, I don't think I've sent you the digital photo, but I have what we call the wall. We have the testimonial wall in my office of cards and letters I received back, and it's literally 20 by 18 wall, about 15 feet long, about 15 feet tall wall full of cards.
That's just a
side benefit of loving and maintaining and building your herd.
Sure.
I'd love to take some questions.
Okay, let's go ahead and open it up. We're going to keep it open for a little while here. Anybody have any questions at this point? Did we just blow everybody away?
Nah, I'm still here.
Okay, all right.
This is Mike here, Jim. This is something that I've been kind of waiting for to, get going with this. I believe in this concept, not because I've been doing it, because I've been watching, other people do this stuff, and I don't maintain a good database, and I just basically need somebody to kick me in the butt. I guess that's what you're doing today, but I do have that question, about contacting customers too much and how much is too much, and weekly, gosh, I don't know.
Mike, let me address that for you real quick. A man told me a long time ago, a lot of respect I have for this man, and it was not, I didn't want to hear it. It was one of them things he told me that I didn't want to hear. But he basically told me out of 52 times in a year, if they pay attention to you 7, that's pretty good. So my point in that, because I didn't want to hear that, because I'm over here thinking, well, they love me. They remember who I am. They know everything about me. That's the problem with my floor covering dealer that I bought from. He actually thinks in my busy life I'm going to continue to remember him, and at that exact time and moment when I need him, it's just going to appear in my memory bank. But it isn't true. I would be wrong if I told you all 970-something customers read my newsletter from cover to cover every month. I know they don't. But I'd also know if I'm not putting my message, my words, and my face in front of them, somebody else is doing it for me, and they're not going to give me any of the money they get out of them. So the people that get irritated by it, first of all, it happens so rarely, and I hope that helped you. Most business people think, oh, now I'm harassing my customer, and I look at it just at the opposite. Nope, I'm protecting my customer.
Oh, good point.
Well, we spend an awful lot of money in display ads and TV and all this other stuff. If I added it all up, I could do a lot of personal touches, I think.
Oh, absolutely you could. With an incentive, you just hang on to what Jim's doing through the rest of this module, because I'll tell you, I got what you guys have got, and the stuff is fabulous. The stuff is great as far as laser beam specific. You can go apply this next week and get this back in your bank account at the end of the month. Nice. See, the thing that's great about what Jim is coaching, the floor covering industry, and is even better that he's only agreed to take on so many clients, so you have that exclusive coaching, is the fact that the industry that you're in is going to be taken by storm when this happens, just like what's happening with our real estate clients. Could you imagine? I'll go back and ask you this. Here's how we find out a little bit more about each other. When was the last time you bought or sold a real estate property?
20 years.
Do you remember your realtor?
Yes.
Do you? Does she send you stuff or he?
No.
Okay. What was it in your mind that caused you to remember him?
He paid my commission fee.
Okay. So the pain or the value you got out of it was money.
Yeah.
Do you know where he's at today?
Yes, I do.
Would you go look him up?
Yes.
And your reason would be?
Because I appreciate him paying my commission fee.
Okay. Now, if another guy comes along and gets in front of your sales face and says he'll pay your commission fee bigger than the last guy, what are you going to do?
I'll probably go with him.
There you go. So 20 years of him not being in front of your face, building that good, as we call good guilt, and building that good loyalty, you might be like another consumer that just goes and picks the next one based on a little more savings.
Plus, he missed 20 years of Mike's referrals, unless Mike just...
We can't even scratch that surface.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we mean by the touches. I don't know if Jim's mentioned it or not, but I know of one person that does an industry thing that's really great. Here's something just to put out there, Jim. I hope I don't do anything wrong, but it's something I'd like to see as a consumer. I can't tell you why carpet is one better as another. And I can't tell you why choosing a carpet would be better than another. So what would hurt with a weekly email campaign to all your past clients after you've gathered them up and done it right that says the difference between this and that? You're not trying to sell them nothing. All you're doing is giving them the weekly floor covering tip.
That's it. Yep, that's I think absolutely nothing wrong with that. And you get people subscribing to that, and you give it a welcome type of title so that they know it's a beneficial, educational kind of thing. I see absolutely nothing wrong with that. In fact, the other thing that I would add to that is broaden the scope of it just a bit and have it be a home maintenance kind of tip.
Sure.
So that you're the overall, November, time to wrap your pipes against the freezing. And December, it's time to do this, along with a flooring tip. I think that kind of a thing would be dynamite.
Well, the thing about it is, the reason I say that is because from a consumer standpoint, and because it's still fresh in my mind, it was hard for me when I was picking out the tile to say, okay, do I want porcelain for the outside or do I want ceramic? Do I want this or do I want that? So when people go to do their back patio decks and everything when the winter's good, it could be, what's the difference between a ceramic tile and a porcelain tile?
Sure.
Blah, 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 blah. So now you're still thinking of a marketing sell 'em message. What Jim and I are talking about with the contacts is, hey, I love you. I'm taking care of you. I'm thinking about you message.
I'm your expert. I am your floor, like a family doctor.
Yeah.
I'm your floor doctor. I'm the guy that you come to for the advice.
Trust me, it's not inexpensive. I know. I burned that $15,000 quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time I had as a decision maker from a consumer's point of view is, what's the difference between this and that? So if I'm getting in the marketplace to buy and I'm not ready and I'm getting my message from you that says, hey, Berber carpet's wound 32 times this way, and good part Berber carpet's wound 72 times this way, and this is why it makes a difference.
Exactly. Good point. Any other questions? Okay. Well, I think we gave them so much, their brains are exploding.
Well, I look forward to it in the future and hope I get to meet some of them at an event real soon. My last closing thoughts are building and maintaining a herd can and should be one of the most enjoyable aspects of your business. If you're like myself or like I know Jim Armstrong is, and you really are in business to make a ton of dough and sell to the most amount of people you can with the lifestyle you chose and then want them to come back, then the extension of your business is building and maintaining that herd and making sure you're protecting it from all the poachers and all the wolves that are every day waking up trying to figure out how to steal them away from you.
Excellent point. Just very powerful. Tracy, I can't thank you enough for being
Thanks,
here.
Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. And I will see you next time around.
Okay, guys. We will talk to you next week. We got module number 4 coming up. Look on your itinerary for the number and the times, and we will do it. Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Jim. See you.
Bye now.